Good morning. I think you all are aware that Pastor Tom and Jennifer and several others are at a conference in Florida. Today, John and Trish will be leading our worship. And our pastor who will give our sermon today is Dr. Todd Blake. Tom has been a Baptist minister for over 20 years and is now the executive director of Parkview Community Mission. At this time, I'd like to present Todd with a check. We raised $1,220 for the bus passes.
Thank you all so much.
John?
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship right here at the well. And so good to be together. And obviously, I'm not the gentleman who's normally up here in front of you. And one who is much more comfortable behind a guitar than a pulpit, but we'll do the best we can this morning. And Pastor Tom did send me a text early this morning, I'm sure, just to make sure that I was up. It was pretty early, but that's usual for Pastor Tom. And he said to be sure to tell you that he misses you, he's thinking of you all, that he is praying for all of us. And I'm sure we are. Likewise, he did ask for prayer for his presentations that he will be making and may have already made. And all those who are in his company, we certainly hold them in prayer that all will go well and that it will be a fulfilling time at that conference and they will accomplish what they needed to and as the Lord would have them do. And also their prayers for their safe travels back home. Yes, I think they'll be making their way back to Claudia tomorrow.
Today. We're starting today.
Okay. Now it's time for me to make a, I think I would either call this a confession or a disclaimer, but you decide. Just like when Sherry just told me something just now, I'm sure it was something I should have repeated to you. But here's the situation. I've got 60 years of music that's gone through these poor two ears up here. Some of it loud, and it has rendered me with a real hearing loss. And bless your hearts, when you raise your announcements and those in your prayers to be recognized, I don't hear them. I rarely can distinguish the names. I have a little problem with the monophthongs and real problem with diphthongs, whatever those things are. And just, I cannot distinguish the information that you're telling me. So, rather than embarrass either you, me, or anyone else, all of the above, I will not try to repeat what I think you told me. So, with that in mind, I would just encourage you, when you are giving an announcement or raising someone in prayer, you would just, I'd encourage you to speak up, so at least those in close proximity can understand and hear you well. And I can assure you that even though my hearing is quite imperfect, God has perfect hearing, and He knows exactly who you are referring to and what you are telling us. So, with that in mind, are there any announcements? Okay. Any prayer needs that you would like to voice? Yes.
My aunt in Colorado, she has had a fall. She's 93 and broken her leg in three places. And she's going to be recuperating in a rehab soon. Her name is Marion Bridget.
What's her first name?
Marion.
And thank you. A couple of those are. And Agnes, yes.
John Gomsky is my neighbor, and he's in hospice.
Thank you. Any other requests? Well, in that case, let us go to prayer. Almighty God, we are confident that you know the concerns of each of your children who have been lifted up to your care, as well as those held in silence in hearts and minds this morning. We entrust all who are dear to us to thy never-failing care and love for this life and the life to come, knowing that you are doing for them better things than we can desire or pray for. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And calling your attention to the front of the bulletin, as always, we enter into the presence of the Lord in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit.
Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded each to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen. It's not covering.
Now let us call each other to worship.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Using Psalm 121, a very familiar psalm. Reading responsibly. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep.
Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
So that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor by moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe.
The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore.
Let us stand now and sing our opening hymn, number 659, Lead On, O King Eternal.
Thank you. first reading today comes from Genesis 32:22-30. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream with everything else he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
We gather this morning to lift up your great name in joyful worship. You are indeed our Redeemer, our Defender, our Savior, and our King Eternal. In your infinite mercy and kindness, you have seen fit to love us with an immeasurable love. Because of your great love, the Word became flesh, and Christ lived among us. He taught us in word and deed, showed his love for us through acts of service, humbly submitted to your will, and endured your silence for us all. All this so we should not suffer the condemnation that our rebellion against you so rightly deserved. It is certainly in Christ alone that our hope rests. He is our cornerstone of our salvation, a never-ending source of life, strength, comfort, and assurance. Because of your great love for us, we are now reconciled with you through Christ and can enjoy the privilege of being called your sons and daughters. And as your sons and daughters, we are bold to pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever.
Second reading is from 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 4, 5. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
thine own before thy feet we lay. Amen. Please stand, remain standing for the reading of the gospel. Which today comes from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, but afterward he said, to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The word of the Lord.
Praise be to the name of Christ.
Greetings on behalf of Parkview Community Mission, and this coming Friday will be 1 year that I have been at Parkview Community Mission, and since that time and that year, I have heard the name of The Well quite often. The generosity that you all have shown Parkview in so many ways. I met a number of you when you came and served a meal on a Wednesday night. The regular offerings that come in for bus passes that help our neighbors get to medical appointments, job interviews, to and from our pantry, is a gift that I hope you understand what a gift that is for those who don't have reliable transportation. To be able to do the things that many of us take for granted, the trips that many of us take for granted back and forth from here and there. And you all have been generous with us in so many ways. We just recently received gifts from a barbecue and from a Brunswick stew, and I think fondly of you all when we count those gifts. And so it's good to be with you today. It has been basically a year since I left full-time pastorate. I was the pastor at Madison Heights Baptist Church just across the river from downtown Lynchburg a year ago. This Sunday last year was my last Sunday there as their pastor. In that time, since then, I have had the opportunity to preach at a number of Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and Methodist churches, and it is great to be with The Well today. Thank you for your hospitality. I appreciate your pastor and his kind invitation to come and preach today. It is good to be here. At Parkview Community Mission, many of you are well aware of what we do. You're aware of our mission to serve our neighbors and the different ways that we do it, whether it be through food in various ways at our pantry or at Parkview Cafe or the meal bags that go to Lynchburg City Schools and other schools in our area. Many of you know about our Life Skills Institute, where we're teaching, we're trying to help our neighbors get back into, to re-enter the workforce and gain employment, and to take care of their homes and take care of their families well. We have our Community Resource Center, where we're helping people with utility cutoffs and eviction notices, helping our homeless neighbors navigate getting into shelter. We also have a clothing closet, the Clothing Connection, where some of you have served, where we provide a dignified shopping experience for our neighbors to come and shop for the things that they need, for clothes they can be proud of, for coats that will keep them warm, shoes that will be comfortable on their feet. And everything that we do at Parkview, we want our neighbors to be dignified. We want them to have an experience where they're treated as a welcomed neighbor. We use the word neighbor because we believe that implies a relationship. When people come and visit us, I like to tell them, my assistant, Lisa, Carolyn knows her well, she jokes that I do everything in threes. That's the Baptist preacher in me, I guess. But I'll tell people when they come and visit that we don't treat anybody as a client, a customer, or a constituent. Those are my threes. They're our neighbor. Because we have a relationship with them. We want to know their name and their stories. When I found myself, and I will confess just a bit, as a pastor, I often felt disconnected from the issues that we deal with at Parkview. I didn't know many people who were homeless or unemployed or experiencing food insecurity. But now at Parkview, those are the people that we meet every day. And so I know early on, when I served out at the check-in tent with Carolyn as people were coming to the pantry, I noticed how when people walked up, they weren't a number in our computer system, but they were someone with a name and a story. And so when they're experiencing these issues that are easy to judge when they're hypothetical issues, and we don't know people experiencing these issues, it's different in Parkview. We know the trauma that exists in their story. We know the reason that they're on the streets looking for a safe place to sleep. We know about the jobs that have been lost, the family members that have passed away, that have created some of the circumstances that they find themselves in. And so I like to tell people now that at least the good sermons I preach over the course of, I preach almost every Sunday for 15 years, at least the good sermons I preached, I get to do every day now. Mm-hmm. And it feels like being at the center of what church can and should be, to serve our neighbors day in and day out, to love God and to love our neighbor by ministering to the least of these in Parkview Community Mission. And so that you all support us in doing that, that you actively engage in us doing that, from everybody at Parkview, our staff, our board, and the neighbors that we serve. Thank you. Thank you to the well. Thank you so much. I love that you all use the lectionary, and that you we've read today all passages from the lectionary. And this gospel passage today that was just read, our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 18. At the outset of this parable, Jesus sets this up as a clash between one person who has power, someone who has agency over the laws of the day, as a person who has power over literal life and death decisions, a judge, opposed to the other person in the parable who has no power, a widowed woman in a patriarchal, male-dominated society. It could not be more different in terms of the power that was afforded to each of them in this parable. Scripture speaks regularly about the requirements to defend and support and speak up for the widow. We see all through the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, this the importance of giving special attention to the widow and the orphan and the foreigner. People who could be easily discarded or overlooked in that context. In a day when women were hardly allowed to say anything in public, especially to a man who was not her husband, this widow had the audacity to speak up for justice to a man in authority. A man who, by his own admission in the parable, really doesn't think a whole lot of her. Doesn't think a lot of God either. Says, I don't really pay much attention to God or to me. But I'm going to give her what she wants just so she'll be quiet and leave me alone. But she had the audacity to speak up and to keep speaking up for justice for herself. Jesus doesn't tell us what justice she was seeking. And if he didn't offer it, it probably doesn't matter. The point of this parable isn't the specifics of the injustice, but about a woman willing to cry out and to speak up for justice. And he sets it up at the very beginning of the parable, the way Luke writes it, that as he's teaching his disciples, that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. And so there's a connection here between this speaking up for justice and the way that we pray, the conversation that we have with God. As I've said already, The Well is faithful to our neighbors at Parkview in a number of ways. But in one way this morning I want to particularly focus on, I've already received a generous gift this morning from you all for bus passes. Let me tell you what that means for our neighbors. Many of our neighbors are heavily, highly dependent on public transportation. Parkview's programs have to be accessible by public transportation. We could not do what we do if we weren't on the bus line. All day long, outside my office window, I see buses going both directions. All day long, on a regular basis. Many neighbors, when they're seeking employment and we're helping them to get interviews and helping them to secure jobs, oftentimes we have to help them look for jobs that are accessible by public transportation. Their health care must be accessible by public transportation. Without a car, the simple trip, the errands that many of us take for granted, the 3-mile trip might as well be 10 or 20 miles for someone without a car. It's easy for us to overlook that. I experienced a little bit of this a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Today, I was leaving to go to a work trip in D.C. I took the train because I hate driving in D.C. The one time I drove to D.C., as soon as I got there, I missed a red light, ran it, and the D.C. local government was happy to send me a letter and a picture of me running that red light. So I took the train. I had no car, and I was very dependent on public transportation. I couldn't get around except for my feet, the metro, and the occasional Uber. Now, I could afford the occasional Uber if my destination wasn't serviced by public transportation. But an Uber ride is a whole lot more expensive than a metro pass or a daily bus pass here in the city of Lynchburg. But for our neighbors who don't have a reliable car, who don't have a friend or a family member that they can rely on for a ride, the ability to get on the bus and get to that job, that medical appointment, or to the pantry at Parkview, the ability to use GLTC is critical. So recently, a director at one of our programs, one that's located in the lower level of the plaza where 3 of our programs are, she came to me with a concern. GLTC wasn't servicing a couple of the scheduled stops there at the lower level of the plaza. And so neighbors were missing classes at our Life Skills Institute. Other neighbors were missing appointments at the clinic that's also located in the lower level of the plaza. Now, the reason was understandable. It was staffing shortages. I think we all understand that these days. It seems that every industry, every business is affected by this. But for our neighbors, these inconsistent stops were affecting their physical health in many cases. They weren't able to show up and get medical tests or evaluations, medical appointments, or to pick up their prescriptions. And for others, it was affecting their ability to seek employment. And so this program director asked me, she said, can we go to GLTC? Can we ask them to make these stops regularly and consistently? And I said, absolutely. Our mission is day in and day out to serve our neighbors. But it's also when the occasion arises, our mission is also to speak up for them. Is to give a voice to their needs, to people in power. It's to advocate for those who often feel like they don't have a voice or an advocate. I loved her passion. I loved her willingness and desire to speak up for the neighbors that she was serving at our Life Skills Institute. Now, thankfully, Parkview has a friend who serves on the GLTC board. He believes in good, reliable public transportation, and he also believes in Parkview's mission. And so he met with our director. He offered input. He offered advice. And then he encouraged our staff and staff from the clinic to come to GLTC's board meeting. And so they went. My director, somebody else from the clinic, went to that board meeting. They spoke up for our neighbors. And they heard us. They committed to the consistency of those bus stops in order to serve our neighbors. They committed to partnering with us to make sure that our neighbors had access to those classes and those medical appointments. It was a beautiful example of what can happen when people speak up, when people listen. We have another neighbor who, she has a difficult time speaking. She has a trach, and so speaking up and speaking loudly is a challenge. Speaking over the phone is almost impossible. And she'll say that Parkview is her voice. She'll come to Parkview for people to help her to make phone calls to different agencies and places around town. We've been able to help her by being her voice, by speaking up for her. We've been able to help her to get into safe, stable housing. So part of our mission at Parkview is to speak up and to advocate. Part of our duty as Christians is to speak up for justice, to speak up for others. This woman, this widow in the story, refused to stop speaking up. Now the judge in the parable says he only gives her what she wants just to make her stop talking. But then Jesus asks us, if a judge who doesn't care about God or man, if a judge who only wants this widow woman who's annoying him to stop talking, will give her justice, how much more will God who loves us grant us justice when we speak up? And now again, Jesus connects this speaking up for justice as a kind of prayer, to pray without losing heart. One commentator suggested, He wrote, it speaks to the divinely rooted call to pursue justice, while also grounding it in the context of living a faithful life. This parable invites preachers and all who would receive it to think of prayer as an active, dynamic, relational, and even mystical enterprise between us and God. To think of our speaking up for others in the name of God as a kind of prayer offered to God who loves His children. There are a lot of people in the world who feel overlooked, who feel voiceless, who feel like nobody knows or sees their needs. And when that happens, the divine call for people who claim to love God and claim to follow in the way of Jesus, the call then is to speak up, to give voice to those injustices that our neighbors experience in the world. The call is to be their voice. It follows exactly in that line of what the Torah taught of speaking up for the widow and the orphan, defending those who did not have a voice. It follows perfectly in that heritage that we inherit from them in the Old Testament, to speak up for those who don't have anyone to represent them. So when I say that your gifts matter to Parkview, this is the kind of work, this is the kind of mission you're supporting. The ability to serve our neighbors in very direct ways, to help them get to and from work, to help them get to and from a pantry, to help them get to and from medical appointments. You're supporting them in the ability to do that. You're also helping us to speak up for them. You're helping us to be their voice when they don't feel like theirs is heard. And so we thank you for loving our neighbors. We thank you for supporting the mission of Parkview. And our joint responsibility, you to us and us to you, is that we will do a good job, a faithful job, of loving our neighbors, of sharing the resources you have shared with us, that we will use those to help our neighbors out of poverty, to be able to take care of themselves long term. It's an honor for us to take care of short term needs And it is a real honor for us to help them with long-term needs like employment and sustainable, safe housing. So that's the kind of work that you're empowering and supporting. Through your Brunswick stews, your barbecues, your offerings for bus tickets, that's what you're doing. You're serving and loving your neighbor. And I promise you that every time I hand out a bus pass, I'm going to picture all of you loving our neighbors, supporting their needs. So every time I offer a bus pass, it will be almost like a little prayer, thanking God for the faithfulness of the folks here at the well. God bless you. Thank you for enabling us to be a voice for our neighbors. God bless you.
Thank you.
Let us respond to the gospel by sharing together in the Apostles' Creed. We stand together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Here a little reminder note to myself. Before we begin communion, and Pastor Tom wanted me to let you all know this, because it would seem, I suppose, inappropriate or at least odd that one who is not ordained would be offering communion. Rest assured, please, that the elements were consecrated by Pastor Tom and by our Eucharistic lay minister, Jan, in the presence of some other members of the church on Wednesday evening, so that all is ready and appropriately prepared for communion, even though it's served by churchmen. So, for your confidence there.
Will you join me in the Eucharistic prayer? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our privilege and our joy to give you thanks and praise, Lord God, because you created all things in order to dwell in covenant love with your people. When that covenant was broken, you promised a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, in which you would put your law within them and write it on their hearts. You would be their God, and they would be your people. They would all know you, from the least of them to the greatest. For you would forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. In the body and blood of Jesus, you made that new covenant. And in his death and resurrection, we are bound to you and you to us forevermore. And so we join all the company of heaven in the song of your everlasting joy.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Abiding God, you shape us through this holy meal to be your companions, to befriend one another, and to be reconciled with the whole earth Send your spirit on your church, that your people may endure suffering, and that being encouraged, they may proclaim your truth and learn to live in your good patience. Sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of justice, your children call upon you like a widow pleading her cause. As you constantly knock on the door of our hearts, inviting us to embrace your ways, so we seek to wear you out with our longings for you to grant justice to your children who cry to you day and night. Give hope to any who are close to losing heart. Bring consolation to all who can hardly continue another day. Uphold those who have nowhere to turn. Hasten the day when every tear turns to joy and all sorrow to dancing, when you are all in all, one God, Trinity of peace and love.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Tom often says, every Sunday, in fact, that's how often. The gifts of God for the people of God, and this is the Lord's table, not the world's table, and all who love Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth are welcome to attend, and please partake of the feast. The table is prepared.
Thank you.
merciful Redeemer, you have filled our cup and fulfilled our promises. At your table, we have received nourishment for our souls. You have wiped away our sins and have put on us the garments of your righteousness. Let this sacrament be in us a power overcoming unbelief and doubt, conquering temptations and evil desires, and enabling us to live according to your will. Having been guests at your table, help us to share the bread of life with others, that they too may share in our joy and happiness. To you and the Father and the Holy Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, so appropriately titled, As We Go, number 667.
Together in the name of Jesus. So thank you to all of you. You know, for the words of our benediction. May the peace of Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. God bless each one of you, and amen.
Amen.